America's most significant strategic vulnerability isn't on a battlefield or even in a boardroom. It's in something most people never think about. The 17 rare earth elements that power our phones, our vehicles, our medical devices, and our national defense systems. And while the United States stepped back from this industry decades ago, China stepped forward, building the world's strongest rare earth supply chain. The question now isn't about conflict, it's about competition, cooperation where possible, and protecting America's future. And one administration looked at this economic reality and said, we must re-engage. I'm Scotty Nell Hughes, and this is Perspective, Elemental Power, America's Rare Earth Awakening. For years, the issue of rare earth minerals sounded obscure, something only scientists or even engineers cared about. But today, those elements sit at the center of global technology, manufacturing, and national security. Now, China spent decades investing in mining, refining, research, and advancing production. They recognized the future early. They built factories, trained workers, and even positioned themselves as the world's leading rare earth producer. And here at home, well, the United States allowed our industry to atrophy. We became dependent on imports. We handed over our supply chains that once gave us enormous leverage. President Trump looked at this strategic gap, not as a reason for hostility, but as a wake-up call for America to strengthen itself, to innovate again, to build again, to stand on its own feet while keeping diplomatic channels open. The Trump administration made a critical decision. Rare earth minerals are vital to America's security and must be treated as a national priority. Now, from invoking the Defense Production Act to accelerating mining permits to supporting new refining technology to build partnerships with allies and maintaining firm but open conversations with China, this wasn't about confrontation. It was actually about preparation. Because true peace, true stability, and true prosperity comes from strength, not dependence. Today, we're going to explore how America is reawakening to a strategic industry we should have never abandoned, and how smart diplomacy paired with renewed American investment can create a balanced, stable future for both nations. Let's bring in our guest, Steve Abramowitz, host of the Heartland Journal podcast, and Steve Gill, longtime conservative talk radio host. Join us today to talk about this very, very important issue. And Steve actually worked with the trade, with the former White House administrations, with the trade industry, talking about these very issues in regards to technology and advancements in America. Thanks for joining me, gentlemen.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Steve, now I actually have to go which one. Steve Gill, what long-term economic decisions allowed China, you think, to become the global leader in rare earth mining and processing?
Well, as you pointed out at the outset, it's not just the rare earth minerals themselves. It is the refining and the processing. China has rare earth minerals. We have rare earth minerals. They're in eastern Ukraine. They're in Africa. The challenge for the United States is we have fallen way behind China in the refining and processing of these minerals to be able to use them. It's a little bit like drill, baby, drill. We have abundant natural gas and oil resources, but we're not building new refineries that are cleaner, more effective, and environmentally friendly. We've got to do the same in the drill, baby, drill regimen and, you know, refine, baby, refine the same way we need to move in the rare earth minerals and find the processing, the use of these minerals in a way that we can put them into the manufacturing process. We're ham-hocked by our own regulatory, bureaucratic licensing and other requirements. So Lee Zeldin and the Environmental Protection Agency are going to have to take the lead. But at best, we're 2 years behind China. If we expedite, we may begin to catch up, at least have some refining capacity in another year or so.
But like you said, this has been going on for decades now. Steve Abramowitz, how did U.S. policymakers, and I have to say, it's on both sides of the aisle, actually allow America to fall behind in an industry that once actually gave us a significant advantage?
The United States has known for years that our economy runs on materials that it doesn't control. You know, the Green New Deal was basically the new green smokescreen. The rare earth metals that power the F-35 fighter jets, electric vehicles, and iPhones. You know, that changed this year. Rare earth metals are actually, they're not very rare, believe it or not, in the Earth's crust, but it is difficult and costly to extract them with energy prices so high, labor costs so high, and of course, geopolitics that wants to dominate. So we're scrambling, but just this month, and this is very timely discussion, Scotty, on December 1st, the U.S. Department of Energy's Office of Critical Minerals and Energy Innovation announced a notice of funding opportunity for up to $134 million to enhance domestic supply chains for rare earths for the first time, U.S. Energy Secretary Chris Wright said. It's called the American Rare Earth Demonstration Facility Program, designed to demonstrate full-scale integration rare earth extraction and separation facilities here in the United States. But out of the $30 billion global market, that's not very much money. But up from projections around $400 million by 2032, so by the time the next iPhone upgrade comes along, I guess. So you know, we're seeing Trump scrambling to diversify supply globally. The U.S. has stepped up its search for rare earths after China threatened to withhold the materials earlier this year. We had to do it.
Well, and that's my question for you, Steve Abramowitz. Do you feel like this was a part of these recent Chinese negotiations? Do you think this was a part of that conversation that helped President Trump get to some form of a deal with China?
I think it is, but it's better than that. It's diversification. So, you know, China decided that they wanted to put new export restrictions that hit the Western manufacturing over EV motors and data centers just when it was hitting its peak. So we got Australia deal and some smaller Pentagon contracts with mining companies starting to look around. And like Brazil, who has the world's second largest proven reserves of rare earths after China. So if China doesn't want to play nice, we can look around the world for other places, including right here at home. We're just starting from way behind.
No, absolutely. But this is interesting in a shift in a priority from this administration from the past, which is funny because, Steve Gill, I think we felt like after COVID that we definitely knew that China had all of the chips. None of us could get updated technology and so many things from our washing machines all the way to our cell phones. President Trump, though, took this rare earth minerals as a national security priority. How did that shift the conversation towards strengthening U.S. capabilities, do you feel like?
Well, as Steve pointed out, you know, there are these rare earth minerals all over the place. It is the processing, and we're way behind that. And I do think that we're over a barrel with China right now because they know we can't process what they can process now. So for at least a period of time, we have to cooperate with them. They have a lot of leverage over us. And it's really not much different. You asked earlier, why did we find ourselves in this situation? It was cheaper to buy these things from third world countries like we do our textiles, like we do our pharmacy products. We went cheap and have fallen behind the independence that we need to be able to produce these things in our own countries. And it took a wake-up call from President Trump for us to begin to realize how we are at risk in our national security and our international economic competition. When we are not energy independent, when we're not manufacturing independent, and frankly, we've seen Russia do the same thing during the sanctions and the recent conflict, they no longer need as much outside because they decided to turn inside. China has done the same thing. Other countries are learning they want to be independent because then they're not having to answer to other countries in the way that we're having to answer to China right now when it comes to these rare earth minerals.
And it's interesting, Steve Abramowitz, because did you see where the Trump administration, they used tools like the Defense Protection Act to actually jumpstart domestic mining and refining? Was this a good thing? I know the environmentalists probably didn't like it.
Well, no, the environmentalists never like anything as long as it takes breathing and carbon dioxide coming out of our mouths. He has done something that he said he would do in his book, The Art of the Deal. He basically said, okay, China, if you're going to pretend to be a monopoly and act like you're the only rare earth owner on earth, we will go and shop elsewhere. So he got a deal with Australia. He got a deal with Malaysia, Thailand. The list goes on. Billions and billions of dollars, $53 billion in Australia for exactly what Steve said, mining, producing, and making those minerals so that the supply chain can never be strangled. Same thing happened when we were worried about vitamin C and how China was making all of our supplements. And what if somebody had a cold and needed it and China decided to play hardball and say, no, you can't have it, at least not for that price. Let's triple that cost. Well, you go somewhere else. You go to Canada, you go to Mexico, like we do with auto manufacturing. So China played hardball with the art of the deal master. And it looks like to me, Trump said, all right, let's make a deal with someone else. And it works out in the long term really, really well so that American manufacturing can be great again. That's his goal. He's got about a year and a half left to do it until the midterms.
Okay, well, we're going to get Steve Gill's perspective on it as well when we return. So stay with me, Steves, because we're going to talk about how China became a global rare earth leader and how can the U.S. actually strengthen itself without turning competition into conflict. That's next. Welcome back. We're taking a closer look at the rare earth market, how China built world-class capability, how America lost its own, and how the Trump administration began rebuilding our strategic position with a mix of diplomacy, policy, and economic renewal. I want to bring back in our guests and break it down with the core questions shaping this issue, Steve Abramowitz, host of the Heartland Journal podcast, and Steve Gill, longtime conservative talk radio host. Thank you for joining me, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before the break, Steve Gill, I said we were going to get your take and how you viewed it, but I also want to talk about the partnerships, the new partnerships that Steve Abramowitz was referencing, talking about our new allies, such as Australia and Japan. And they're helping to diversify this global supply chains and reduce over-reliance on any single country. How do you see it?
Well, President Trump's new strategic plan, National Security Strategic Plan, really says what he's been saying for a while and what most of us have recognized for quite some while, that our real adversary in the world in terms of diplomacy and military and economic adversary is China. And unfortunately, our policies have pushed China and Russia closer together rather than making sure that Russia is facing more positively with the West rather than kind of literally pushing them into the arms of China. China is an adversary, and I think that President Trump has recognized that, as you pointed out just before the break, how do we keep this from becoming conflict? I mean, there's competition that can then move into a different level of conflict before it moves into direct conflict. And I think that to avoid that, you know, having these other allies, having these other resources that we can develop and depend upon here at home helps avoid those confrontations that ultimately can lead to conflict. And rise from competition to something worse. So you avoid the competition by having other options. You avoid the competition by having better resources here at home and by looking forward rather than waiting too late to address these issues. And I think that's where President Trump has us finally on a better path.
But that's the thing, Steve Gill. Do you think that the U.S. can actually maintain a stable cooperative relationship with China while also ensuring we are not strategically dependent on China? It seems like some of their kindness comes knowing that we are reliant on them.
Well, the clock is ticking, and we've got to act quickly, knowing that they do have us over a barrel for a period of time. Again, I would use the example of the oil and natural gas industry. Oil and natural gas prices have come down, not because we're actually drilling, baby drilling, or refining more right now. It's the potential of what's to come. So our other competitors in the oil and natural gas around the world see that we've got huge reserves that we're going to be able to dump into the market. China is also having to look at that and figuring they've got to play nice in the short term, because the sooner we provide other options, whether again it's with our allies like Australia and others, as we take our resources and refine them, we're going to change the whole global commodities market in these areas. As Steve pointed out earlier, you know, rare earth minerals aren't really that rare. It's the refining and the development of them. And China's looking at what's coming rather than where we are, the same way I think other oil and natural gas countries are seeing what we can do. And they're having to play nice in the short term, knowing that if we put a huge amount of these resources into play internationally, it really does, you know, screw their markets internally.
Well, and I understand competition. At the same time, I also understand when both teams rise that everybody can get along on this issue and everybody can be victorious. So Steve Abramowitz, you know, Steve Gill talked about the things that we're developing, these emerging technologies. What emerging technologies do you find, like clean refining, recycling, advanced materials, can actually help America regain leadership in rare earth production?
Yeah, I mean, turns out digging in the dirt is a dirty business. So the unions were literally created in this country to protect kids from coal mines and coal dust. So mining is the opposite of environmentally friendly. What we're really seeing is, in my opinion, is Trump doing the exact opposite of the Carter foreign trade negotiations when it came to oil. We had a monopoly on oil coming out of Iran in the Suez Canal, and they were able to embargo us, and it caused a terrible, terrible semi-depression in the 70s when the spike happened. Yeah. What this is doing is heading that off on another strategically very important, like I said, it's in the F-35s, resource. So here you have war-torn Ukraine. Trump and Ukraine's Zelensky signed an investment deal in April giving U.S. rights to Ukraine's rare earth minerals. Okay, that's a heck of a lot better than guns and the Khobar Towers, right? So what we're literally seeing is, again, businessman Trump, not a Carter, Obama, Clinton, weak on foreign policy and economics team, actually getting business done that will prepare us for the long, long term. Because if these data centers are the new Ford manufacturing of the future, we're going to need those rare earth metals, including copper, which I call a precious metal, which is precious versus, like we just said, rare earths aren't that rare. And all of a sudden, we're friends with Argentina. After World War II, we were their biggest competitor for food to Europe, and we won and put Argentina into the back seat for a long, long time. But now we got a framework just in November for rare earths from Argentina, which means that's one less market China dominates.
You know, I hear what you're saying, Steve Abramowitz, and I understand that you talk about the importance of this being from a diplomatic standpoint. Steve Gill, how do you balance that diplomatic engagement, economic competition, national security to create a more stable, resilient future for all nations that are involved, but specifically China and the United States with it? When you have all, are we competing to gain business from other countries at this stage?
Well, again, the pot can get bigger. The pie can get bigger. And as it grows, then you're not necessarily having to deal with a zero-sum game. But for that pie to get bigger, for there to be plenty of growth, plenty of opportunity, you have to still be self-sustaining. You have to have enough independence at home to be able to compete effectively. And the other aspect of this whole debate is energy. We can't fully develop AI without the energy to power it. We can't develop these new refining processes of oil and natural gas or natural resources and these rare earth minerals without the power to make it happen. And as you know, we've talked a few times during this segment, you know, the environmentalists that want to block anything and everything still want us to depend on the highest cost, least effective forms of energy. We cannot do that and fully develop the AI capacity, the refining capacity for these elements that we're seeing China and other countries do. So we're going to have to, you know, put on our big boy shorts and go out there and man up and play to win in all of these areas and not let, again, those that are trying to tear us down internally as well as externally keep us from developing the energy resources, the refining capacity, and the ability to compete on a global scale simply because they have an agenda here that's not operating in these other countries.
Well, it's interesting because I think, Steve Abramowitz, you actually brought up the idea of the coal mines and the environmental issues that have happened in the past. And obviously, we still see those pictures in West Virginia. We still see, obviously, the health impact that it had on the region. Do you think that this sector is going to potentially be able to create, be a place that President Trump can look to for job creations, which is a huge part of his agenda that he's trying to do right now, but create new jobs or at least expand? And are they going to be jobs that Americans will do and want to have?
I believe they will be, because where else are you going to get the real estate? God's not making any more of that. It's right under your feet. I spent some time in Australia, and I remember very clearly in the 90s, they were willing to sell the ground right under their feet for mineral resources. So, you know, you talk about the geopolitical situation here. The opposite of war basically is commerce. I mean, look at everything from the Silk Road to today's modern version of technology infrastructure of Taiwan and semiconductors. If we're going to work with Japan, our former enemy in World War II, Trump just announced a trade deal framework with them, And Kazakhstan, here's a great example, $1.2 billion. That is creating jobs, giving them work to do other than turn bullets on their neighbors and invade. That is the goal of, I guess, the history of human nature is if we're working, we're not fighting. And if we're not fighting and we're making a living and making a profit, we can have families, we can have peace in our time, we can have all the wonderful things that, that this world was given to us for. So the hope is, and I think Trump's right, if we can make strategic business deals with our former enemies and our friends of this day, Israel and France and the UK, we're not fighting. We are doing what we're supposed to be doing, which is making it a better place to live for our futures and our families. I just look at him and I see a businessman. This is the first businessman we've really had in our lifetimes. You know, you got to go back to Hoover for the last one that I can think of, and he's winning. It's only been like 11 months in office, and he's winning.
And I think he sees, unlike other presidents in the past that have seen war to be the only way to create economic stimulation for an economy, he actually says, let's actually stimulate the economy with business. Novel concept.
Who would have thought?
We would have think that. Well, I want to thank you both for joining me today, Steve Gill and Steve Abramowitz. Thank you so much.
Merry Christmas.
Rare earth minerals have become the building blocks of modern life, fueling everything from smartphones to satellites to America's most advanced military systems. And for far too long, the United States surrendered its role in one of the most critical industries of the 21st century. You know, China filled that vacuum, not through hostility, but through strategic planning, heavy investment, and long-term vision. Now the challenge is clear. America must rebuild, retool, and reinvest, not to undermine China, but to stand confidently beside China as a strong, self-reliant partner in global stability. The Trump administration understands this reality. By prioritizing rare earth, reviving domestic production, and strengthening supply chains, the U.S. has begun restoring balance and resilience, not just for us, but for the entire world. Competition doesn't have to mean confrontation. Strength doesn't require hostility. And diplomacy is most effective when backed by security, capability, and independence. The future belongs to nations that innovate, that build, and that prepare, and that engage with clarity and confidence. America is waking up. America is rebuilding. And America is stepping back into its rightful place as a technological and economic leader. This has been Perspective. I'm Scottie Nell Hughes. Until next time.